Lindsay, come and unpack God's word to us this morning.
I'd encourage you, if you've got your Bibles, to always bring your Bible to church, always look at the scriptures that we're studying. It makes it mean so much more. And feel free to write notes. I know one or two take notes. Preachers don't mind if you're writing notes. They don't even mind if you're looking at your phone, so long as you're not texting and stuff like that. Because the phone, you've got the Bible on the phone. So please feel free to do that. I know sometimes having the text up there can mean you don't look at it in... It bring your Bible, but I think it really helps us get to know the Bible if we're opening it up on a regular basis. And I know some of you do, as I say. But back to this. The lake at Galilee can get very rough very quickly, with both boats getting tossed about like they were just kids' plastic toys. And if you've ever been in a small boat on an unexpectedly rough sea, and I have, I've never prayed so fervently in my entire life, but if you have, you will know just how scary that can be. Now imagine it's dark. The flaming torches on your boat that normally guide your fishing trip, they blew out long ago. And you can hardly see. You're being buffeted about by the wind, spun around by the waves, and you can't tell when or where the next huge wave or swell is going to hit you. So you dig your fingers hard into the sides of the boat and you grab onto the rigging just so you have a firm grip on something. That's what it's like for the disciples in our story, in adrenaline hyperdrive. Am I going to send us all into adrenaline hyperdrive in this final service of the year? Is 2018 going to send us all into adrenaline hyperdrive? I hope not. But perhaps this past year, the waters you found yourself in have hardly been plain sailing or ripple free. They certainly haven't been for me. And maybe the waters for some in this church have felt a little bouncy, a little uncertain during this long pastoral vacancy. Yet, God is still with us. God is still with us, individually and collectively as a church people. God has called us together to be his people, to go through both the tough and the wonderful times together, to partner with God in his mission in this church, in this community, and beyond. What an honour. What an adventure. And sometimes our lives seem to be drifting or sailing along nicely, when suddenly, as if out of nowhere, the wind blows, the waves swell, and before we know it, we find ourselves in the midst of an unexpected storm. Maybe the torches that have previously helped us navigate seem to have blown out, and it's really dark. We can't tell when or where the next huge wave or swell is going to hit. And maybe we find ourselves gripping for dear life onto whatever we know, whatever feels secure, because we don't want to get thrown into that foaming sea. It's like a white knuckle ride. There may be times when we find ourselves asking, where is Jesus when we need him? Where is Jesus when we need him? I expect the disciples felt like that. Where was Jesus when they needed him in the midst of the tempestuous sea? Wasn't being one of Jesus' followers One of his closest friends supposed to spare them, spare us from the storms of life? That's certainly not my experience of being a follower of Jesus. And it's not a teaching that I find anywhere in the Bible either. Neither is it my experiences of churches that are truly seeking to follow Jesus. Anyway, our disciples are out there on the lake, and Jesus does not stop the brewing storm, but he does turn up. And when they least expect it, in the fourth watch of the night. And the Jewish night is divided into four watches. And the fourth or final watch is that time just before dawn, in the very darkest hours. Why does Jesus do that? Wait until the fourth watch of the night to head out to them, just when they think that there is no hopeful way forward. Funny how the Lord often seems to leave it to the last minute. He's got really dodgy timing. He certainly has it in my life. Anyway, that's how it seems. An account of Jesus walking on the water can be found in three out of the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, and John. Mark's account, Mark chapter 6, tells us that Jesus intended to pass them by. Jesus intended to pass them by. And that's a really interesting turn of phrase, because when it's used in other parts of the Bible, it's used to speak of something called a theophany. And the word theophany means God appearance. A striking temporary appearance of God to an individual or a group of people for the purpose of communicating a specific message. Examples of theophanies in the Bible include when Moses is in the cleft of the rock while my glory passes by, Exodus 33. When Elijah is on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by, 1 Kings 19. When God appears to Moses in a burning bush, instructing him on how the Israelites will be delivered from Egypt, Exodus 3. In each case, God wanted to get people's attention. In each case, God used it to call his people to do something extraordinary. In each case, the person or persons felt afraid. And yet, each time the people said yes to their calling, they experienced the awesome power of God in incredible, fresh ways. Jesus is coming to the disciples on the water intending to pass them by means much more than Jesus casually waving to them as he saunters on past. This theophany, the God appearance, is Jesus revealing his presence and his power to the disciples. This is Jesus wanting to communicate a specific message to them. This is Jesus longing for them to say a great big yes to where he wants to lead them. How will they respond? The Bible is silent on how most of them in the boat responded. Quite possibly they do so with an understandable mix of disbelief, wonder, and confusion. We do know, however, how one of them responds. And that one is Peter. And Peter recognizes that God is present even in this most unlikely, dark, turbulent, and dangerous situation. He recognizes that to respond to Jesus in the right way offers the most extraordinary opportunity. And he says, if it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. Peter recognizes this storm is an opportunity to grow, to literally get closer to Jesus. And Jesus is on the water. He isn't in the boat. Peter wants to be wherever Jesus is. Isn't that where you want to be? Isn't that where this church wants to be? It's certainly where I want to be, where I long to be, wherever Jesus is. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, come. Come. Picture again the storm. A violent storm. A storm of sufficient ferocity to seriously unnerve the most seasoned of fishermen like Peter. The most seasoned of Christ followers, perhaps like you. Imagine the size of the waves, the strength of the wind, the darkness of the night, and just how utterly terrifying it must have been. These are the conditions under which Peter is called to get out of the boat. And note this, Jesus does not stop the storm before he calls Peter to get out of the boat. Nor does Peter even ask him to. For our disciples, Jesus is passing by. And he's inviting Peter to go on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a moment when Peter is invited to say a great big yes to his calling. It's a moment when Peter can experience the awesome power of God in his life in incredible new ways. It's a moment when Peter can learn so much about what it means to trust in the Almighty God. And he would be scared stiff. Water or boat? Water or boat? Where Jesus is or the boat? What's your answer this morning? Where will you be in 2018? Water or boat? My guess is that Peter can hardly even stand up as the boat is tossed about. You know, as he gets up, he lurches forward and then he falls backwards as the waves beat about the bow, then across the stern and everywhere in between. And stooped over, Peter picks up one leg while desperately holding onto the edge, trying to keep his balance. And somehow he manages to get one foot and then the other over the edge. And then he lets go. He looks at Jesus. He sees where Jesus is and he walks towards him. He's walking on water. He's actually walking on water as he looks at Jesus. But then we're told in Matthew 14, verse 30, that Peter sees the wind. He sees the wind. It's as if he suddenly realizes the ridiculousness of standing in the water in the middle of a storm with no boat and no firm ground beneath his feet. And his faith fails him. He already knows about the wind and the waves and the storm. He already knows about the deep water and the darkness. He knew all of that before he stepped out of the boat. So what has changed? What has changed is that Peter's focus has shifted from looking at Jesus to the storm. shifted from looking at Jesus to looking around at the storm. His faith wobbles and he sees the wind. In that moment, his fear of the circumstances is greater than his trust in the one who can save him. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus Christ and starts to sink beneath the waves. Peter is there sinking. But immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches Peter. "You have little faith," he says. "Why did you doubt?" Peter fails. But failure won't destroy him, and it needn't destroy us either. It's how we each respond to failure that matters, that shapes us for good or ill. Failure is an opportunity for growth. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of bigger failures still sitting there in that boat. People who will never know how glorious it is to walk on water. Who will never know the incredible feeling of being empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually step out in faith. And what's more, Peter knows the joy of being saved and upheld by the strong, loving arms of Jesus in a way that those still in the boat would never know. He knows that Jesus is more than able to completely save him, even in the greatest of the storms of life. And so his trust in Jesus grows. There is more to life than sitting as a passenger in a boat. Peter, you, me, this church, we were created to spiritually walk on water. And I think there's something in most of us that says, there must be more than this. But that more than this means leaving our comfort zones, means leaving our boats and abandoning ourselves to Jesus Christ. It means trusting in him with a full assurance that he is more than able to completely save us. As the author John Ortberg and probably many others have said, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And perhaps in the past, some of you have stepped out of your boat full of faith and full of hope, but then reality has set in. Setbacks, opposition. You have seen the wind. Or perhaps because of the wind, you never actually left the boat in the first place, and you're clinging on to dear life for anything, to anything that feels secure. In your own life or in church life, anything that feels solid, anything that is familiar, and your knuckles are going white. And you rationalize that if you get out of the boat, you'll have to face the full wrath of the wind and the storm. But you know what? There's no guarantees that life will be any safer in that boat. There's risk in getting out of the boat, but arguably there's an even greater risk in staying in the boat. Everything feels risky. But we want to be where Jesus is, don't we? Jesus is not in the boat. But then a storm hits and we're afraid. Then Jesus passes by and shakes everything up and we are afraid. The call to get out of our boat as individuals and as a church people may well involve crises, opportunity, failure, heartbreak, struggle, risk, excitement, fear, struggles, hope, suffering, joy. It always, always involves the calling to a task that is way too big for us. But there's no better way to grow than to get out of the boat and to walk where Jesus is. There are moments in our life and in church life where God offers us a choice. We can choose to step out of the boat and walk on water, or we can choose to stay in the boat. And maybe you haven't got out of the boat in a long time. But maybe today, the Lord is passing by. Step out upon the water. Don't let fear paralyze you. Take the risk. It's safer to step out onto the water where Jesus is than it is to stay in the boat, even if that's where your friends are. In the New Testament, the Greek word kairos is used 86 times. It means the appointed time in the purpose of God, the time when God acts, an opportune time, a moment, or a season. And I believe that now is a kairos moment in the life of this church. This church has a fantastic foundation upon which God can build in this new season, thanks to faithfulness of good men and women over the years. And even more importantly, thanks to God's faithfulness over those years. And I believe that God wants to do a new and powerful work in and through this church community. There's so much potential already realized within this church and so much yet to be released. And it's because of that yet to be released that I believe that this is a kairos moment. A moment where if this church chooses to join him out upon the waters, then there will be blessings in ways as yet unknown and unseen. Jesus is calling you. Now is your time. He's looking for people to get out of the boat. And he knows that for many of us, there may be a storm out there. And he knows that, like Peter, our faith is not perfect. Mine certainly isn't. But he isn't going to calm the storm before he calls you to step out on the water. He calls you to step out on the water in the midst of the storm. And he knows that we fear failure. But today he wants to assure each one of us that even if we fail, that he will be there to pick us up. He will not let us sink beneath the waves. Jesus is more than able to save. King Jesus is calling his people to step out into the extraordinary promises. His extraordinary promises, and to do something extraordinary in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us as individuals and as a church people to say a big fat calling, a big fat yes to our calling in 2018, so that we can experience the awesome power of God through, in and through our lives. In incredible, fresh ways. Ways that are infinitely more than all we can ask or imagine. So, will you get out of the boat? For the sake of your relationship with God. For the sake of this church. For the sake of the kingdom of God. The Lord is passing by, and God wants your attention. On this New Year's Eve, say to Jesus, command me, tell me to come to you. I want to join you, Jesus, out on the waters in 2018, wherever you may lead me. It's the most important New Year's resolution, I believe, that you will ever make. So fix your eyes upon Jesus, not on the circumstances, and literally, for heaven's sake, get out of the boat. The risk of not doing so is just too great. Amen.